Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Welcome to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR. We're very pleased to have with us two individuals who have some inside knowledge and understanding about what we might be in store for coming January 1st. That is when, of course, a new administration is taking over in City Hall. Sean Ryan is currently mayor-elect of the city of Buffalo, but that, of course, is still a transition. It doesn't happen until January 1st. With us, the co-chairs of his transition team, Dr. Marie Cannon is with us, the CEO of the Community Action Organization of Western New York, former commissioner of the Erie County Department of Social Services. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you. Glad
and also
to be
with
here.
Us, Trini Ross. Trini is the former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York State and also a partner now at Harder, Seacrest, and Emory. Thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's great to have both of you here, and there's obviously a lot to talk about. But let's just maybe just give it into the particulars. A transition team. We haven't had a transition team in Buffalo for two decades. What goes on? What has been going on with the transition team?
So we've been talking a long time together. So we're like, who's going to go first?
Sure.
So it really has been for identifying the top leadership for the mayor-elect. Like we have hit the ground running, I think October, December, November, I can't even remember now, it's been nonstop, but the goal really is to identify the top leadership that will be in place as of January 1st for the new mayor. And so it has been interviewing. We have several committees, subcommittees that are looking at specific positions, but it really is to identify the best, the brightest, because as you said, it is a new administration after 20 years. And we also know that there are challenging, this is a challenging environment. So our goal really is that we are identifying and looking and assisting him to hire literally the best and the brightest. And we say that if it's somebody that's already there, somebody from the outside, but absolutely somebody who can walk along to make sure that he can implement the vision that he has for the city of Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, part of it is to make sure that Mayor-elect Ryan starts out on day one with the team that he wants in place. Now, there's a process to that, mm-hmm. of course, but at least we would have identified the individuals in those cabinet positions, the commissioners, mm-hmm. the deputy commissioners, and the director positions for Mayor-elect Ryan to select from and to start day one knowing what his cabinet's going to look like, what he needs to do with those group of people. So as Dr. Cannon said, I think it was 2 days after the election, so early November, where yes. we were named as the co-chairs of Mayor-elect Ryan's transition team, and we have not stopped since. We have, as Dr. Cannon said, very ambitious schedule to have these people, as many of them, identified and ready to be confirmed on day one.
Just curious, from we'll call him a mayor-elect Ryan. I'll have to get used to that.
Yes.
It'll be a little easier after January 1st. But what about from his input? I mean, does he Has he said, I'm looking for this type of person, or there, I mean,
yes,
get into that.
Yeah, we've had conversations with him, and he's looking for a certain type of people that will complement the style that he's going to bring to the city of Buffalo. For example, he's looking for visionaries, not people who do things the way they're done because they've always been done that way.
Sure.
He's looking for people who could think outside the box, who could be efficient and reactive and give back to the community, people who can listen, who could put their vision into action, put Mayor-elect Ryan's vision into action. So things tend to get stale after a while, we all know. And what he wants to do is bring in a breath of fresh new ideals, a breath of fresh new energy, new people, people who maybe didn't have access to being in these positions before, but definitely have, as Dr. Cannon said, the qualifications, the drive, the vision, the desire. I was a public servant for 30 years. And so what Mayor-elect Ryan is looking for, people who have that passion towards public service, passion towards the city of Buffalo, who wants to do things better, get things under control. And so that's why we're very excited to be part of this transition team.
Yeah,
I can well imagine being excited about it for sure. And it's interesting to hear about passion for the city of Buffalo and also passion for public service. Those are two qualities that are not necessarily have to go together. So you're finding people who have those passion?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We are actually delighted about the number of applications that we're at. The last count was over 1,000 applications. I don't even know what the number is now, but over 1,000 people. And what that says to us really, though, is that these are people who are interested in serving our community, because at the end of the day, whoever is in place really, and we all know that leadership matters,
right,
which is why that the mayor-elect is taking such a, I think, a broad and intentional approach to this in terms of identifying the best, the brightest, the committed, who wants to do public service, because it is public service. And our community deserves to have people who want to serve, who are skilled to serve, who have the competence, who have the drive. And, you know, the other thing is, so he set the tone for what he's looking for, and then he's empowered. So this large group, we're talking about 60.
Almost 70.
Yeah, almost 70.
Community leaders who are in the subcommittees.
Yes.
Vice chairs and subcommittees.
Yes. So they are helping to recruit, identify people, but then they're also doing the interview, the vetting, so that they'll be able to recommend some really good candidates at the end of the day.
And like Dr. Cannon, we have some really good candidates. I cannot wait until the announcement is made.
I guess you can't tell me right now.
No, I cannot tell you, because, you know, really, it really will come down to what Mayor-elect Ryan selects, what he's looking for. But at least we could give him a pool of qualified, capable, excited, dynamic candidates to choose from. And it has been such a great experience being part of, like Dr. Cannon said, the recruiting and, you know, the scheduling and to make sure this happens. Because when we told, I guess, our vice chairs about the schedule on the first day, everybody was like, say what? How did we, you know, how did we get into this? And we were very enthusiastic because we knew that the people on the subcommittees, the vice chairs and their subcommittees, were all in it for the same reason, to give Mayor-elect Ryan the best start he can to a very difficult situation that he's stepping into. And to be able to do that, we're all committed. People were asked to volunteer their times. Nobody's getting paid.
We're all volunteers.
We're all volunteers. And we have put time and effort, like Dr. Cannon said, when you get over 1,000 applications for different positions, somebody has to go through those and they have to be screened, right? First off, to make sure that the qualifications for those positions are there, because that's important. And then after they're screened, you have to go through them to decide who you're going to interview. You know, it's a process. And the vice chairs and the members of the subcommittees have stepped up, and we are right on schedule.
Now, Dr. Ken, I think it was something you mentioned in your answer that struck me. It almost sounded as if a mayor-elect Ryan getting elected has maybe sparked an interest in city government that for some people who maybe perhaps before felt maybe it wasn't accessible to them. I mean, are you sensing that kind of energy?
I am sensing that people are hopeful and they want to be part of what the next iteration of Buffalo looks like. I mean, we have to recognize that this is it's a lot of energy around it because it's new, because we haven't had a new transition in 20 years. And then so people who may have not been, as Trini said, have not had access. Here's this opportunity now to have access almost across the board, and where it is really this transparent process, and we are the only goal is to identify, first recruit, identify, get hired, people that are qualified, people that are competent. I mean, we're saying the same things over, but then there's just this passion around, here's an opportunity. It hasn't come because we've had administration in long term. So here's this opportunity for people to say, you know what? Maybe I do want to be involved in what the future of Buffalo can look like. So I think that's the energy we're sensing. And even in the room, when we were all together and Mary-Elect gave the timeline, like you could hear this gas. It was like, wait a minute, that literally is next week and a half.
Right.
And we're like, okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. We're going to make sure we're going to be okay. but it absolutely was this gas, because it was very ambitious. We literally said by November 17th, we wanted to start, you know, identifying applicants, begin interviewing, and we're on schedule. But what also was felt in that room was, okay, we can get this done. I know this is ambitious, and it was.
It was. It is. It remains ambitious.
And it remains ambitious. It made our eyes bug a little bit. I was like, what?
Add in the holidays.
Of course.
Right.
Just to make it a little bit more challenging.
Right.
Because, you know, a challenge isn't enough. Right. We need more challenging.
Right. Well, obviously, I mean, with both of your professional backgrounds, you're used to challenges.
Yeah. Yes.
But at the same time, and you're talking about people are excited about joining Senator Ryan's team come January 1st, but you're doing this as volunteers. And this is obviously just by laying out what you're talking. This is a lot of time, your time, during the holidays.
Yes.
What? Give me your thoughts about what drew you to be part of this.
Easy. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, when I was asked, the answer absolutely was yes. And because I'm born, raised in Buffalo. This is my city. This is my community. And for me, I see it as there's this text that says, are you your brother's keeper? Mm. And for me, the answer was yes. And then so do we either spectate and sit on the sidelines and say, oh, I hope it goes well? Or was this an opportunity to say, no, I want to be part of what the next iteration of Buffalo could look like? And I think my perspective, as having served as the former commissioner, like I understood, mm-hmm. I mean, and they all understood, but I have an intimate knowledge of the impact of policy from a federal, from state, mm-hmm. from city, but also understanding the level of poverty that is in the city of Buffalo and some of the challenges. And then so I was just like, absolutely, I want to be part of the solution. And then when I knew it was Trini Ross, I was like, of course, because we're the girl fan club.
That's very kind. And I have to tell you, I've known Sean for quite some time. I mean, probably 2007, 2008.
Okay.
And I know he is a man of action. Mm-hmm. I know he has a pure heart. I know he does what he says and he means what he says. And I've seen what he's done as a state assemblyman and as a state senator. And so when Sean says he's going to do something, you best know it's going to be done or it can't be done. Those are the two options. So like Dr. Cannon said, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? And like Dr. Cannon says, I'm born, raised in Buffalo. I live in the city of Buffalo. It means a lot to me mm-hmm. to really be able to give back to my mm-hmm. community in this way. And I'm still at heart a public servant. I mean, I'm in private practice now and I'm enjoying it, but I'm still at heart a public servant. Yes. And our community is only as good as we make it, those of us who live in it. Yes. Our community is not going to be any better than what we make it, and it won't be any worse than what we make it. So this was my opportunity to continue my public service, to assist a person who I know is going to be a spectacular mayor and to be able to work with Dr. Canna.
Nicely said. Our guests are, by the way, are Dr. Marie Cannon and Trini Ross. They are the co-chairs of the Sean Ryan transition team, Mayor-elect Sean Ryan transition team into City Hall on January 1st. So both, of course, citizens of the city of Buffalo, longtime citizens of the city of Buffalo. So you heard from people inside the city of Buffalo when this election was taking place,
yes,
when the campaigns were going on. What do you think drew the people of Buffalo to Sean Ryan?
I think his sincerity. I think his accomplishments, completely his intellect. I mean, you know, he is a trained lawyer. I'm just saying.
He's been tested, right?
Right. Okay. But when you go back in his history, and I hope people did, and I know the people I spoke to did, because it was an opportunity to bring in something new, as we said, you know, two decades of the same, the citizens had an opportunity to bring in something new. And new is scary, and new is unsure and unclear. And we could complain or we could love what was there, but when it's new, you have nothing to complain about and you have nothing to love. It's new, right?
Sure, right.
And the people I spoke with, and I was stumping for Sean, I'm not going to lie, because I felt like that was my duty, too, to let people know what opportunity we had if he was elected. They looked into his background. He has a track record as an assemblyman. He has a track record as a state senator. He has a track record as a public interest lawyer. So it was a lot to look at. And I think that's what attracted people. And when you look at the results, I'm just going to say they speak for themselves, right? He won with a mandate. And so he, you know, Mayor-elect Ryan is aware of that. And he doesn't take it lightly. That mandate that the people of the city of Buffalo gave him by electing him so overwhelmingly is something he will take to heart.
Yeah. And for me, I actually currently don't live in Buffalo, born and raised and grew my adult life, but I don't currently live. So I unlike Trini, I wasn't stumping the grounds. I wasn't having conversation. I just, here's what I was saying. We have to, here's this opportunity for change in the city of Buffalo. So then I'm just encouraging people to get out, to vote, to do their research, take a look at the candidates and vote. So for me, what I saw with Mayor-elect Ryan is that, so I don't have a long history with him. I'm not involved in politics, but what I am involved in is the human services part,
right,
and then public service. I know he's part of PPG in terms of really looking at policies that could help people's lives be better. I know that about him. We were working on housing from the county perspective. So we're having conversations with his office and we're giving some feedback and, you know, we're having conversations. And I, you know, some things I said to his staff was like, well, here's one of the unintended consequences of if we do it this way. And one of the things that they did, they actually listened to us. And so for me, that says, here is a gentleman, and I've seen him in action this way, that has a great idea, but is open to saying, how can we make this better? Oh, your idea will help shape that a little bit. So for me, that's when we get back to this question of how do you say yes? That's how I can say yes, because I've seen him in action, paying attention to the issues that affect everyday life. Housing affects everyday life.
Right.
You know, it's safety is about, you know, stability for families, for children.
Human right to have housing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's how we got there in terms of look at his record.
Right.
See what he's done. The things that are important to you. So that was my conversation. And the other piece I was saying was to people is that elections matter.
Yes.
They matter. Leadership matters. Who you have in place matters. What policies they're going to bring to the table impact people's everyday life. So you want to make sure whoever you vote for align with what's important and the priorities for your life.
And I'll
and
just
all of your life, not just for you, because I think that's the piece. It's about what's best for our community.
Sure.
Just to pick up on something Dr. Cannon said and to show Mayor-elect Ryan's brilliance. He put us together.
Yes.
Right? He took a person who has a long career in law enforcement, and he took a person who has a long career in public service. And when you take those two ends and you put them together, you make a whole, because that's really what we're talking about mm-hmm. in the city. People want safe environments, but they yes. don't want a net to come through and sweep up everybody who looks a certain way or of a certain demographics. We don't want that. And Mayor-elect Ryan knows that. He also knows from the human services mm-hmm. side, we'll have less crime problem if we can solve some of the social yes. problems that society needs to deal with. So he brings the two of us together. We had never met before.
Right.
Oh, wow. No, okay. we had no. never met before. I want to make that clear because wow. the synergy is right. such that people might think we've known
it
each right. other.
It kind of sounds like it.
We met on the day that the transition team was announced.
Okay. Yes.
That was just a couple of days after the election.
Yes.
But Mayor-elect Ryan has a vision that he knows how to implement. And his vision was, we got to take care of the social issues. And then there's the criminal justice issues, which are equally important, but the two are not mutually exclusive, right. as some people might think.
Right.
So I just want to give a shout out to Mayor-elect Ryan for his vision yes. of knowing that bringing Dr. Cannon and I together would be useful for his transition.
Yeah, yeah, you brought up two really good issues to get into. We can probably get into it a little bit more as we move through the program as well. But you know, housing and public safety.
Mm-hmm.
But you also mentioned a mandate. I mean, it's a strong word.
And, yes.
Elected officials like to use it when they show up for work on the first day. I'm not sure how much you hear about it a couple of years down the road, but mandate. The city of Buffalo, I think we all can say is we all love the city of Buffalo, but there are those who obviously have and deep concerns about the city as well. What are, when you say mandate, what do you see as the things that he has to address immediately?
Well, one thing he's addressing immediately is inclusivity.
Yes.
Right? Mayor-elect Ryan has opened up all his cabinet positions, all his commissioner positions for people who are qualified to apply for, because he knows being more inclusive gives you a better pool of people to effectuate the vision that he has for the city mm-hmm. of Buffalo. So that's the first thing. He wants his top leaders to reflect the people who live in the city, to look like them, have backgrounds, whether it's age or it's race or it's gender. Mm-hmm. It should be united in the sense that needs to look like the people from the city of which we're serving. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the issues that need to be addressed outside of development. Of course, development is important. You know, building the city, bringing people into the city is important. But what about those of us who live in the city and those of us who live in parts of the city like the east side mm-hmm. of Buffalo, who needs a little bit more TLC at this moment in time? Mayor-elect Ryan is squarely aware of those issues.
Yes.
So there's some parts of the city that you want to maintain when things are good, right? You maintain them. But there's other parts you need to build up.
Yes.
And that's what I mean when I say he understands his mandate. You look at who voted him into office. He serves all the people all the time as a state senator, as a state assemblyman, and soon as mayor of the city of Buffalo.
Yes.
Why don't we use this as a moment to take a time out? We'll come back with a lot more. There's a lot to talk about. We've touched on a couple of issues. We'll get into that as well. And a lot more with us, the co-chairs of Mayor-elect Sean Ryan's transition team, Dr. Marie Cannon and Trini Ross. We'll take a time out, come back with more. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Whether you're here for the headlines, the harmonies, or the next great song, you're in the right place. We've brought all our stations together under one name, Buffalo Toronto Public Media, BTPM NPR, BTPM Classical, BTPM The Bridge, BTPM PBS. Unique voices, one connected home for public media. New name, same great content. Discover more at btpm.org.
Corey here with the Compact Civics Expansion Pack.
America is such a big, wide, awesome place, and to be able to see things that are representative of so many different places can be so important when brought to your tiny town.
Everybody is so kind and loving. I'm here in Buffalo just because of State Buffalo.
From urban farms to rural fairs, we'll celebrate spaces that bring us together and create community.
Watch on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. My name is Jay Moran. And what's next today? We are very pleased to have the co-chairs for Mayor-elect Sean Ryan's transition team into City Hall as of January 1st. Dr. Marie Cannon with us. Dr. Cannon, currently the CEO of Community Action Organization of Western New York, the former commissioner of the Erie County Department of Social Services. Two very big jobs there. And also Trini Ross, who currently is a partner with Harder Seacrest and Emery, but also had a really big job as the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of New York as well. Very pleased to have both of you here with us. Interesting how you are co-chairing this transition team, but there's more going on underneath you.
Yes.
These subcommittees, and I don't necessarily have to get into everybody who's out there, but I think it might tell us, kind of maybe hit upon the point that you're making, Trini, about the depth that the mayor-elect really goes mm-hmm. to, and he's trying to find answers, find the right people. How deep do these subcommittees go?
Well, there are seven subcommittees,
wow.
and each one, well, six of them have one vice chair, and the public safety subcommittee actually has two mm-hmm. vice chairs.
Okay.
So I will just go really
sure,
quick
please.
Through
yeah.
them, yes. So there's a subcommittee for Public Works and Parks. There's a subcommittee for community enrichment. Mm-hmm. There's a subcommittee for planning and permits. There's the emergency services subcommittee, and that one has two vice mm-hmm. chairs. There's a subcommittee for labor relations, subcommittee for finance, and a subcommittee for law.
Wow.
And the it's very interesting because the police commissioner, we were talking a little bit about public safety, of course, is one of the mm-hmm. most high profile and important positions in the city government, and Mayor-elect Ryan realizes that and has hired a firm to help select nationally, do a search, a national search firm to help select the new police commissioner.
So, I mean, doesn't necessarily mean the next police commissioner is not going to be from Buffalo, but it's possible.
Right. It's yeah. possible. Again, the best candidate
sure.
for the job could be from Buffalo or it could be from somewhere else within the United States.
Just switching gears, and we can most certainly come back to public safety, but Dr. Cannon, you touched upon the housing issue, which, Buffalo's not alone when it comes
right.
to housing being an issue, but you also mentioned, policy matters. Elections matter. How much can City Hall really affect housing here in Buffalo in the sense that it is such a costly element. It needs major public investment. I mean, give me some background from somebody who really kind of understands this more than probably the common individual.
Sure. And so the reason why I say that policy matters and who's in leadership matters, because it is, and the mayor-elect actually has experience at the state level,
right.
because a lot of the policies that impact county and city actually happens at the state level. And so I think that is one of the things that will be very helpful because he has relationships at the state level. He understands the policy around a lot of these issues that he'll be able to negotiate at the state and look at it and how it will impact at the county and the city level. And then so when I talk about housing and we talk about who policy matters and leadership matters is where you put your priorities mm-hmm. and where you put the resources. I think all the challenges, and you're right, this isn't just exclusive to the city of Buffalo. This is a national issue
yes.
around the lack of affordable housing. But I do think that there is a great opportunity when you focus on housing, which Mayor-elect has already been working on
yes.
this issue. This isn't a new issue for him, which I think is a great benefit benefit for the city, so that he's been thinking about it. You know, he has some proposals out, some legislation that was out. The block by block was one of them, in terms of really making sure that home ownership could be made accessible to low income, to people who are living already in the community. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that when I say policy matters, and I do think that when you have a mayor coming in who now has experience at the state where lots of policies happen that impact county and city government, that there is an opportunity. Do I think this will be answered overnight? The answer is no, because it is complex. When we talk about the homelessness and the lack of affordable housing, the number of units that need to be built in the city of Buffalo alone is in the tens of thousands, literally, to meet the need. Wow. Then we have to address the system that allows homelessness to come to fruition, because there is lack of affordable housing. That means people are staying in shelters longer, which before it was a churn, 30, 45 days, people can get some help. They're out, they're finding affordable apartments. The other challenge is around transitional housing. So there was a lack of support from the federal government in terms of funding. So people were staying. At one time, there was a 700-day wait for transitional housing, which means that people were not moving out. And so there's no churn. So then there's no availability. And then there's this huge wait list. Mm-hmm. Then you move to emergency shelters. You know, they're probably placing now 500, 600 people a night. So the issue around housing, I think, will be one of his greatest challenge. But I am hopeful. And that's the word like we use, because one, when you have somebody, the mayor-elect coming in, who has experience with working at state in terms of policy, which, and he also would understand the impact of federal policy that impacted his state policy, which impacted county and city. So you have somebody with some experience with that. You have somebody who's already identified this as a priority, that he's already was doing work around housing. So now he'll be able to shape it, what it looks like at the city level, and again, move up and down the system level. He's looking at funding. We know it costs a lot of money. Right. Like this isn't a small investment. But when you already have a mayor who's identified that as one of the major issues, then I think we're hopeful that traction can get done. When you have a mayor that has the skills already, then we're saying hopeful, but we're really saying that things will get done. So that's part of like when we're looking at this work, how we're thinking about who's coming on board. The housing court. It could be the building and permits, like what's being built. Like he will be able to have influence over all of that. But it's also just as important who he brings in to oversee that directly. And then that's where we go back to. We want to make sure that we can help him be as successful as possible on day one. But it's understanding the full impact of systems around housing.
Again, not to be a spoiler here, and you don't need names, but have you seen candidates who might fit? I mean, this is, like you said, housing is huge, hugely complex. And it's also, I mean, it's a massive issue for sure, but you feel like that you're finding candidates or candidates are coming in that might fit that bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are who we're seeing coming in. They're coming in with lots of experience, lots of ideas, some ideas, especially around thinking out of the box.
Right.
Like how can this be approached differently? Because of the current challenge, we do need, you know, a different approach, an innovative, you know, taking calculated risk. I mean, that's all part of leading. And when you're in this kind of environment where things are changing daily, the federal government, those things are changing, the funding, the policies, you need people that can be reactive and proactive at the same time. Understanding, here's the issue that I have today where where people are being put out on the street today, and at the same time can be strategic about thinking, what do we need to be doing that long-term will impact us 5, 10, 15, 20 years?
People who are nimble, people who could think strategically long-term while dealing with the issues that are right in front of them in the moment. And we are finding so many qualified people who have applied. It is just amazing, and it is inspiring to know that people care that much about this city, that they want to become part of the solution. And in housing and all the other areas, we are seeing people who you wouldn't maybe expect would apply to be part of city government, but they are. And we're really grateful for them. And if there are other people out there, I have to put in a plug for our website. You like my little segue there?
That's perfect.
Put in a plug for the website, which is buildabetterbuffalo.com. And that's all one word, buildabetterbuffalo.com. And you will see all the categories. Mm-hmm. It's almost 100 different high-level positions, but then there's one general category. So if you don't know where your skills and your talents may fit, there's a general category you could put in for that and let us figure it out for you.
Now, I appreciate Dr. Cannon kind of laying out the very complex surrounding housing. And then that's, I would say most people don't really understand that. I'm going to switch it over now to public safety, where I think probably most people don't understand it, but everybody's got an opinion when it comes to public safety.
Indeed they do.
Right? So what are, what, as you look at the current situation in the city of Buffalo when it comes to public safety, what are maybe the things that are maybe not getting the attention that that is deserved, and something that you hope the candidates that are applying to perhaps be the next commissioner of police here in the city of Buffalo have an understanding of and have expertise in?
Well, under the Biden administration, when I was U.S. attorney, I do want to say we did bring the crime rate down in the city of Buffalo and most in Rochester, the major areas that were part of the Western District of New York, particularly in the city of Buffalo. It is getting the right people to be the police officers. It all starts there. It starts with community policing. It starts with law enforcement officers who realize law enforcement isn't just about arresting people and putting them away as long as possible. It's getting to know the people in the community, getting the trust in the criminal justice system, which as a Biden appointee, I spent a lot of time doing. It's right-sizing the what the police do, right? Are you going to arrest someone if they throw an egg at a car, or are you going to do something else? It's right-sizing the sentences that people get. It's understanding that a person's worst day doesn't make that person who they have been their entire life or who they may be going forward. So, you know, when Gil Kurtakowski, if people might remember him.
I certainly do. Right, under Mayor Masiello.
Under Mayor Masiello was the last time we had a national search for a police commissioner. Because sometimes when you bring in fresh thoughts and fresh ideals from outside the community, you get something really good. And that's what Mayor-elect Ryan is looking for, which is why he's commissioned a national search firm for this position only out of all the commissioner positions in the city of Buffalo. But I believe that, you know, good training for our law enforcement officers. See, my heart goes out to law enforcement. My oldest son is a retired now New York State trooper.
Oh my, okay.
And my heart also goes out to people in the system because I have family members who have been there. And there is a way to synergize those two different kind of and polarizing positions, you know, law enforcement and people in the community who maybe have violated laws and now need to pay the consequences for that because there are consequences. But when you have good law enforcement officers who understand that and they are making split second decisions because they are all the time, all day, they are social workers, they are law enforcement, they are teachers, they are human beings who live in the community. Law enforcement officers, in my opinion, have the hardest job of anybody in society because they're everything to everybody in the most crisis of moments, right? And so I believe that one thing is to look at each individual in the community as such and treat them as such. So your question, which is like what should be focused on, really to me, it starts with the law enforcement officer, starts with the cop, the boots on the ground, who is the one getting the call, who's out there making those split second decisions in the most crisis of situations.
One of the subcommittees you mentioned was a subcommittee on labor.
Yes.
And so I you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, when it comes to the police in the city of Buffalo, their union negotiations, labor negotiations are a big part of that. How prepared does this person who's coming in to be a commissioner have to be able to balance that? The reality that, like you said, the most important person is that boot on the ground, that man or woman police officer who is in the neighborhoods of the city of Buffalo, who has to make those decisions, yet they can feel, and I think sometimes deservedly so, that they're vilified to a certain extent.
Sure.
Maybe just talk about that balance just a little bit.
Well, of course, Mayor-elect Ryan is a big supporter of unions. You know, he always has been. His wife is a big union lawyer. So there is a balance, and there's a place for unions to make sure that workers aren't being taken advantage of, right? At the same time, the job has to get done, and there has to be some give and take. So because of Mayor-elect Ryan's background, support of unions, support of public service, support of the police officers, I don't think it's going to be a hard position for the new commissioner to take, because Mayor-elect Ryan selects that commissioner, right? So he's going to select someone who understands his vision and has some of the same qualities that he's looking for in that position.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take one more time out. We'll take one more break. We'll come back with our final minutes here as we're talking with the co-chairs of Mayor-elect Ryan's transition team, Dr. Marie Cannon and Trini Ross, with us on What's Next. This is What's Next on Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
From the fringes of the mainstream to the local music you love, listen to Buffalo Toronto Public Media at The Bridge Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. to midnight on BTPM NPR at 88.7 or from your smart speaker.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media brings our community together with programs that inspire, inform, and entertain. Enjoy trusted news, local performances, educational resources, and cultural treasures all in one place. It's more than media. It's a connection to the world around you. Discover what Buffalo Toronto Public Media offers at btpm.org. This is public media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And welcome back to What's Next. My name's Jay Moran. This, of course, is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, and we've been very honored to have with us the co-chairs of the mayor-elect transition team, Dr. Marie Cannon. Dr. Cannon, CEO of Community Action Organization of Western New York, the former commissioner of the Erie County Department of Social Services, and Trini Ross, the former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York State, and now a partner at Harter, Seacrest, and Emery. I'd like to get into something here, and Trini Ross, you mentioned this actually before we went on the air. This program, What's Next, went on the air in just after the May 14th attacks on the Tops, some 3+ years ago. And I'm wondering, I'm going to kind of open it up for a discussion here, because obviously Dr. Cannon, being the former commissioner of the Department of Social Services, you have an understanding of the needs that go on in our community, and most certainly the needs of the East Side. And obviously, Trini Ross is the U.S. attorney. You helped to move along and help prosecute this case as well. The impact of that event, we talked about it and we continue to talk about it, but I'm wondering where you see it sitting right now, its impact on this community, and how it perhaps maybe has highlighted some of the challenges of our community. I'd like to hear both of your thoughts on this.
Sure. I think the impact continues to happen, because when you understand the situation that allowed that to happen? First of all, it's in a place where you can identify where there's going to be one grocery store on the east side of Buffalo, where a majority of those folks shopping there are going to be African American. And then we think about the communities that that store was in that lack so many resources, and like a lot of the east side has lacked. I think that highlighted the issues that we all knew were there. It just pulled the cover off the challenges that were already there for a very long time, that under-resourced, not supported in the way it needed to be supported. I mean, we have to be honest about that. Mm-hmm. And then I think the emotional trauma still has some residual impact. I will tell you, the day of one of my colleagues who works at the county was literally a block away. Mm. And he calls the county executive, calls me. And he was like, I can see the bodies on the street. Mm. And then we personally, we're calling my brother-in-law because he lives one block away from this. And they go shopping on Saturday. We're personally holding our breath to see if, and he answers the phone, we could take a deep breath. But our community had to respond in the middle of being traumatized, but then also responding. So the next day, Erie County was out. We're giving food away. We're checking on our staff because we're in those communities. That's where we serve, child protection. We have all of these stories of what was happening. We have a family. I will tell you, there was a family that we were doing a visit for Child Protective Services. And the only reason they were not at that store is because we were at the house just having conversation. And even there's a senior citizen building. The only reason that there weren't more seniors in that store is because the van driver called in sick the day of.
Oh, my.
Which is where my brother-in-law lives. And he said, the van driver called in, and normally they take about 30 to 40 seniors to this store on Saturday. And so I think that even though it's 3+ years, it's still very relevant. Yeah. It is still very raw when you really talk to people and understand the environment that allowed this to happen. If there is any silver lining, I think it pulled back the pretense that things were okay and said, no, things are not okay, and especially for the East Side. So there has to be some attention that's paid towards it. I do see a lot of effort now looking to support the East Side. We have the governor put money in. We have Buffalo Together. There are a ton of things that are happening. I think the mayor-elect will have this opportunity to help coordinate all of that, and then making sure that resources can not only go through the East Side, but go to the East Side and stay, because that is one of the challenges that we've seen.
Yes, I completely agree. Needless to say, that was the most horrific event that has ever happened in our city.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Just hands down. And I was the U.S. attorney at the time, and it was in my jurisdiction and my responsibility to this community to seek justice. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back a little bit. As Dr. Cannon said, the historic racism, and I'm talking about redlining, and I'm talking about things that happened back in the 50s and the 60s that allowed that to happen in 2014. See, as Dr. Cannon said, leadership matters. And leadership is the leadership we see today and the leadership we see in the future, right? What we do today will affect the future. And that redlining and harvesting of people of color, Black people, and putting them in one quadrant of the city allowed that shooting to happen. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Mm. So having Mayor-elect Ryan in office, who could see, 10 years down the road, whether he's the mayor then or not, he needs to set things in place for 10 years down the road while he's trying to turn around the Titanic, which is called the city of Buffalo, at the same time. And the reason I'm here and the reason I supported Mayor Ryan. And the reason I said yes to being on his transition team was because I know he has the ability to do it. I know he has the intellect to do it. I know he has the heart to do it. Mayor-elect Ryan was talking about these issues 10 years ago before anybody else was talking about the issues. He is very aware and he is focused on making changes that matter to people. The changes in housing, the changes in the criminal justice system, the changing in the environment of what we live in, the changes that the city of Buffalo are ready for. Now, he's walking into an extremely challenging time. There is a huge financial deficit. He's got to deal with that. And I say this because I want the listeners to understand, it's not that he's not doing it. It's not that he's not aware of it, but there's a process to doing things when you're leading a city, when you're leading the U.S. Attorney's Office or Erie County Social Services or the CAO. And that system is you have to deal with the big issues first, which people may not see. You know, we're worried about the issues that affect our everyday lives. Well, Mayor-elect Ryan is putting people in place to deal with those. But what I'm asking the people for is grace. And I'm trying to manage expectations, And that's really important because of the mandate, as we said. Mayor-elect Ryan is going to walk in and he has to get his bearings about him and he has to turn the Titanic around. I'm a true believer in him and I believe he will be able to do that. But I will ask the listeners and the citizens of Buffalo to give him time and the grace that he needs to do that before, you know, we start saying he's not doing what he said he was going to do. Look at what he's doing and look a little bit down the road and you will see he will get to that as quickly as possible and he will get to that as efficiently as possible. But he is turning around a city with a multi-million dollar deficit. So we need to be aware of that.
There's no doubt about that. About that idea that if there's a financial strain and this is a city that needs resources, and that's simple enough. I'll just turn it out around this because we're coming down to our last couple of minutes here, and I'll let you each take a shot at this in the sense that what should we look for? What should we expect in the first 90 days, 120 days? What is going to tell not our listeners, but the people of the city of Buffalo that this administration is on the right track?
I would say start by looking at who he's going to put in these top positions.
Yes.
I mean, I'm telling you, Jay, when you see who's going to be some of the candidates we have that I'm saying who's going to be, I mean, I don't get to pick, but who I expect that Mayor-elect Ryan will pick, I think that's going to set the tone for we're putting people in positions that relate to the people who live in the community. I think that's going to set the tone. And then look how quickly he's walking in with a plan in place. He knows what the issues are and he knows what needs to be done. He needs to get his cabinet in place. And then I think we're going to be off to the races of start ticking off the boxes of things that need to get done. And, you know, we could walk and chew gum at the same time. Mayor-elect Ryan could deal with the big issues like the deficit and some of the smaller issues like the potholes, right? Because that was one thing he campaigned on.
He campaigned
on potholes. And I told him when I talked to him, better get those potholes taken care of. But if you know what I mean,
sure,
like
absolutely.
He could do two things at the same time. And then, you know, you squeeze till you get to the middle and everything is done. Of course, while everything's getting done, there's new issues that are going to come up. So again, I ask that people watch, that they continue their optimism and that they give grace and that they know he's working on the big issues, he's working on the small issues and everything in between with the people he's putting in place.
And the only thing that I would add to that, I think Trini laid that out very well, is that we already see how he's going to operate. The fact that he involved almost 60-something people in part of this process of identifying the top leadership says to us, this is somebody who is looking to be inclusive, collaborative, knowing that he doesn't have all the answers by himself, but he can bring in the best and the brightest to work along. So I think that really right before he's getting there January 1st, even though he has a plan, he has some vision, he's been thinking about this a long time. But the fact that he started the process like this says a lot about how he'll continue to do the work. But just bringing folks in, 60-something.
Right. Community people, yes. Community-minded people from the start.
All walks of life.
Also goes to what Mayor-elect Ryan said. He wants this to be a transparent process. Well, when you have 60-some people who are all members of the community, it's pretty transparent because nobody's going to get something across without other people seeing.
Right.
So he set up a process to make sure it's transparent. He set up a process to make sure it's inclusive. He set up a process to make sure he gets the best, the brightest, those with public service in their hearts.
Yes, yes.
I have to tell you, I walked into it and I'm still blown away by it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I really appreciate your time talking with us today. It's been a great conversation. Thanks very much for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Marie Cannon, currently the CEO of Community Action Organization of Western New York. Trini Ross, the former U.S. attorney for the Western District of New York and now a partner with Harter, Sechrist, and Emery. I'm Jay Moran, and this has been What's Next on Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.